This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Bored of too many ads and dull, meaningless chat? We've got neither. Joy Drive, smart, fun radio.
Susie Rong and I spoke about a documentary which is called Shape, and it screened as part of this year's Melbourne Queer Film Festival. And it's a documentary that takes a look at the pressure on gay men to have the perfect body, and for those who are unable to do so or look a little bit different, the isolation that can result. Let's have a listen to the trailer.
Do you think it's possible to be a gay man in the gay community and not be affected by body image in some sort of way?
No, don't think so.
I think that answered your question. I can't remember what your question was.
Groups of gay men are much more likely to be in environments where their appearance and how they look is very centred to that environment.
It seems to be a competition now as to who looks the hottest, who looks the fittest, who looks the best, who's got less body fat.
And then you go, where do I really fit in?
We often fly the flag of diversity and equality, yet we discriminate so fiercely within our own group.
Based on body image, we exclude a lot of people. There is more to people than just having a good body.
If we're talking the gay community, I feel like I'm being discriminated against because of my age. It's only from my own people that I feel that.
Some people can go into certain venues and not feeling comfortable in some venues.
Yes, you are one of us, but you're Asian, so you're not really one of us. But you're not really muscular, so you're not really one of us. But you're also quite effeminate, so you're not really one of us.
It gets to a point where we become mean girls and essentially say people can't sit with us.
Why is it our community are so fixated on a certain body and a certain colour? Who shaped it? Who's benefiting from it? Who's being marginalised from it? And how can we move forward?
To be as diverse as we like to think we are, we need to get rid of the discrimination.
But there is this message that comes through that this is how someone should look.
Now, Glenn Hosking is an associate professor of psychology at La Trobe University and appears in the documentary and, of course, is no stranger to Joy, because those will know him from Joy Drive. And I'm very excited to welcome him back into the studio. Glenn, welcome back to Drive.
Thanks so much, Warren. Joy Drive, nearly 10 years ago. But
is it nearly 10 years ago?
8 years ago that I finished doing Drive on Joy. So it's been a long time. And you've moved since I left to these new fantastic studios.
What do you think?
Oh, absolutely fabulous.
Isn't it brilliant? Well, we're going to have to get you back onto Drive more often. Now, let's talk about the documentary itself. I reckon it was one of the best documentaries, a real raw look at our behaviour of what we do as gay men. Why is it that we put so much emphasis on our physique and looking good?
Look, I think a lot of these things are shared in the documentary and done in a really sensitive and a really forthright and forward way. And I think that a lot of the messages in the documentary are not just about that cisgendered gay men discriminate against each other based on what they look like, but also based on how old they are and also based on their ethnicity. And so it really uncovers a lot of these really, really bad, unpleasant parts about our community that have kind of been around for decades, really, if not longer. So why do we do it? Well, it does cover a lot about that. And really, I think that a lot of the important things around that are very much around this kind of idea that because we are a community that a male community which is very much driven by a sexual energy, a lot of the focus of the community is to try and obtain sex. And their messaging, rightly or wrongly, is that in order to obtain sex, that you need to look a particular way.
But why is it, though, that if someone doesn't look a particular way, you know, we even struggle necessarily to hang out with them, to, you know, invite them to dinner or what have you. Why do we go so far as to reject them, to not able to belong to us?
Look, I think there's a whole range of reasons for that. But I think one of the biggest reason for that is that there is this message that to be accepted as a gay man, that you have to look a particular way or be a particular age or be a particular ethnicity. And therefore, the bulk of groups fit into that. And even when we look at the way in which dance parties are promoted, you know, you don't see a whole lot of people who are older than 30, 35, 40. You don't see people that don't have a six-pack. You generally see people who are white.
Mm.
And so that does send this message that this is the community. This is what the community looks like. This is what you need to be a part of that community, which is obviously both incorrect and really problematic.
Do we... As we get older as gay men and we no longer, like, I don't go out to these parties as much because I just don't feel comfortable going to them. And the documentary Shape actually looks at this as well. Do we not value older members of our community as much as we should?
I think that we do not, absolutely do not. And I think that that's a real shame. And one of the things that I actually allude to in the documentary is one way that particularly younger gay men can go against this is to actively surround themselves by people who are not like themselves. And I actually, after the screening on Monday, we did a Q&A and I actually spoke about my experience volunteering right here at Joy, that I had been at that point, I was kind of in my mid-20s. When I first started volunteering at Joy, most of the people that I associated with were also in their mid-20s. All of them were white. And then suddenly I came to Joy, a community organization where I was suddenly interacting and making friends with people who are in their 50s and their 60s and their 70s and, you know, people who are much different from me and much different from the people that I generally was associating with up until that point. And so that's one of the things. I think I've gone on a bit of a tangent, but that's one of the things that I really encourage people to do, to actively associate and make a concerted effort to connect with people who are different from themselves.
It's a good tangent to go off on because as a community of, you know, the LGBTIQ plus community, if we do expose ourselves to other people who are different from ourselves, is that, I suppose, the, you know, the treatment for, you know, for our community in terms of being able to break out of this cycle of only wanting to be amongst a certain lot of people that look a particular way? Is that what we need to do? Is it about exposing?
It's definitely a big part of that. It's definitely something that I think is a really important part of shifting that kind of attitude and shifting the way that it is.
We are chatting with Glenn Hosking, Associate Professor of Psychology at La Trobe University, about the documentary Shape, which screened as part of the Melbourne Queer Film Festival. Glenn, I wanted to ask you, when we do ostracise or isolate people who do look different, what potential damage can that do to someone who is on the receiving end of that?
A huge amount. And so I think the big thing around that is that it sends a message to that person that they do not belong, sends a message to that person that they are not good enough. And that then unlocks a whole lot of beliefs, has the potential to unlock a whole lot of beliefs that they have about themselves. And so that they then think, I'm not accepted by my community. I'm not accepted. I am in some way inadequate because of who I am. We have to appreciate that. And we're talking specifically about gay men here, but this goes across the entire LGBTIQA plus community, without a doubt. We have to appreciate that it's hard enough being in this community as it is.
It is.
And why should we make it harder than what it already is?
How much of it's learned in the schoolyard? How much of the behaviour that we exhibit towards others do we learn from, you know, our peers in the schoolyard?
I would say most of it. People don't come into the, you know, they don't come out and go into a nightclub and suddenly exclude people based on some of the factors that we've outlined. There's a community there and people feel in order to fit into that community? Because let's be honest, people who, when they first come out, they've had an experience where they haven't felt like they have been able to fit in. You know, they've felt like an outcast. Mm. And so they automatically feel they've got to do stuff to fit in. And if everyone else is doing that, you do that because that helps you to fit in.
Once you get onto the cycle of, and I know I've been guilty of this, of trying to be fit to be accepted, because, you know, when I came out, I, you know, was a bit overweight and I didn't feel like I could fit in. And then I noticed as I changed my body shape, I was more accepted into the community. And therefore, it almost became like a, you know, a vicious cycle of where I couldn't let myself eat too much, or I couldn't, you know, I had to constantly go to the gym. And it became, it's a stress in itself to try and maintain that, for fear that if I let myself go, I would be rejected by the people that I was hanging out with. And that's a horrible space to be in. It's very stressful.
Absolutely. And then if you think about, you add on top of that, that you've had to come out. You've had to go through that experience of dealing with your sexuality, of being able to fully accept yourself and talk about that and be open with your sexuality with others. It's already, as I said before, it's already hard enough. So then you go into that and you're like, all right, I've got to fit into this particular space and I've got to be a part of this particular group. So what I've got to do is to do what everybody else is doing. And that's really problematic.
What should we do when we do see this behaviour go on? Let's say we do go out to a club, you know, and we say, okay, we watch this sort of behaviour occurring. What can we do as bystanders to try and break this cycle so our community can outgrow it?
So conversations like what we're having right now are so important. And hopefully what starts to happen, and one thing that can happen, is that we actively do call this out when it occurs, to not excuse this kind of behaviour. Sexual racism is racism. We would not accept that in the vast majority of cases, and particularly people who are part of LGBTIQ plus A community are very, very accommodating and open and progressive in their attitudes. So they have the ability to do that. But this is something that we need to talk about and something that we need to say. You know, if we have a friend that is making derogatory comments based on how someone looks or based on their age or based on their ethnicity, to actually say, you know what, you know, I'm a bit uncomfortable with that. I think that that's a really inappropriate thing to kind of do. I don't like that at all. Like, if that was us that was happening to, it would be really hurtful. So we actually do need to have those conversations.
Do you think we can grow as a community?
All behaviour is changeable, Warren.
Well, we're starting it here, and we've started it with this documentary that is amazing. It is called Shape. It has screened already as part of MQFF. Mm. Will people have the opportunity to see it again?
So it had the most remarkable response, which was on Monday, and it was the world premiere, and it will be showing somewhere in the future. So I'll just say, people, keep your eyes peeled. You know, there are potential festivals that happen in Melbourne, you know, early parts of the year.
In the hotter part of the year.
Yeah, in the middle of summer that maybe people could have a look at. And also sometimes things happen interstate as well that celebrate our community. So maybe keep your eyes and ears peeled for that.
Glenn, it's a really important conversation. I'm going to put you on the spot. We're going to come back on Drive sometime.
All right, done.
Definitely. That is Glenn Hosking, Associate Professor of Psychology at La Trobe University. And, of course, the documentary is called Shape. Keep an eye out for it because it will appear somewhere soon.
Joy Drive on Joy 94.9 FM in Melbourne, Joy on your digital radio, iHeartRadio, TuneIn.com or the Joy app, no matter where you are.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.